sing it unto him now.
Who will take up your cross and follow Jesus? Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know him.
Are you ready for the word? Amen. So we're going to have Brother Wade come. Let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the spirit. Your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy.
Just open the word up and see him in there. And then we see him in each other. God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be alive and well. Good to be a part of the bride of Jesus Christ in the end time. That ought to make you happy. I was reading some quotes back there a few minutes ago where Brother Dale said about where we don't need manifested sons in the millennium. Brother Branham came upon that in the 50s. Where they were talking about having no millennium, and where we needed divine healing in the millennium, and all these things in the millennium, and even that Brother Ern Baxter didn't believe in the millennium. So I don't know if he turned around and started believing, but Brother Bram said even Brother Ern Baxter doesn't believe in the millennium. He said, "But I believe in the millennium." He said, "But why do we need healing in the millennium?" He said, "We'll be in glorified bodies, so we need it now. We need the speaking of the word now." That's what's going to get us to the millennium. Amen. We're not going to get to the millennium unless the word is being spoken through the mouth of the end time bride. So if you got your Bibles, let's turn to Daniel 9 and just review for a moment the sixfold purpose. And then we will just for a moment, not going to get into any days because we need kind of couple of consecutive Sundays, and we're not going to be here next Sunday. June and I will be leaving Friday for the family reunion for her dad on Saturday, and then I'm speaking for Brother Mike Altig next Sunday. So just keep us in your prayers. Also, the Fall Festival, we've had our meeting, so everybody jump in and help. It'll be next Saturday starting at 1 o'clock. Luis knows he's preaching Wednesday. I'll get through some of these and just pray for me. I'm leaving next Sunday after Brother Altig's. I'm going to Illinois. Won't be back till Thursday doing a little hunting. So, also remember, coming up November the 2nd, the youth Bible study will start at 2 o'clock. Regular Bible study at 6. All right. And then Brother Russ Dunker from Minnesota will be with us. He's not a minister, but he's going to be with us. He watches in online very faithfully and considers this a part of his this being his church where he doesn't have one close by, he watches online. So just keep him in your prayer. He'll be here Friday on the 1st of November. It's November already. Lord, I'm like somebody said, Sister Trudy McMillan said, I thought getting old would take longer than this. Think about that. Daniel 9:24. Let's bow our heads before we get started. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that we're living in. Thank you for the words you've given us. Thank you for the brothers and sisters that we have to meet together every Sunday and Wednesday and talk about you, Lord, where that we come, Lord, and we gather, and you said you would be here in the midst of us, Lord. I pray now that you'd be the active participant in this service, Lord. You'd be the one that speaks, and you'd be the one that reveals, Father. Without you, we're just a meeting of minds, Father. But please come among us today, Lord. Give us spiritual revelation. Give us something for, as Brother Dale said this morning, a present-day revelation. One that will keep us, Lord, today. And, Lord, that we can strive for more of you, Father, because we know there is. Be with the ones that are sick. Take care of the ones, Lord, that are not here. Ones on the highways traveling, Brother Bob, Brother Richard, different ones that are coming back home, Lord, after taking a little time, and Brother Richard there being with his dad. We pray that you'd just be with each one. Touch his family there, the Roberts family, and, Lord, keep them strong, Lord, as they're watching the recovery of their dad and their husband, that they're seeing a miracle, Lord, right before their eyes, Father. And we pray that you'd just touch us now here. Create a miracle in our heart, Lord. The greatest miracle is to love you, Lord. We thank you for that. Father, give us this day our daily bread. Be with each one, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're going to speak just for a moment on three periods of time, but we're going to get to that in just a minute. Daniel 9:24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy city, upon thy people, and upon thy holy city. To do what? Six things we've been talking about. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now that's all of Daniel's 70 weeks. Amen. That's it. That's it in a nutshell. That's what we've been talking about for five services. That is the 70 weeks of Daniel. 70 weeks are determined upon the people in the city to do these six things to get us into the millennium. All right? But now God thought so much of us and Daniel, he sent Gabriel to tell us how it was going to happen. So know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood unto the end of the war. Desolations are determined. Verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. And we're going to go back over I erased all this off, so I hope you remember what I wrote down. But we're going to kind of break it down just a little bit more. If you have any questions, feel free to ask. But don't ask about something we're fixing to talk about. Ask about something we already talked about. Because we're fixing to get into the days and the times. Does everybody have the chart with them today? The big chart, the one that Brother Branham, everybody got it close by where you can see it. I keep one in my Bible all the time. That's this one. This chart here, the one I gave everybody. This is the one that Brother Branham drew on the 70th week of Daniel. That's the chart he drew. Like I said before, we showed this to Brother George Smith, and he said that is definitely Rebecca did this. She took it off of the chalkboard and put it on this piece of paper for Brother Branham. So this is, that's not hearsay, or that's not what somebody else drew. This is exactly what Brother Branham drew on the day he preached the 70th week of Daniel, which was the last of the three-part series. The first one was Gabriel's instructions, then the sixfold purpose, and then the 70th week. So if you would, let's read the, I like to read that in 2 Chronicles, because what it does, it gives you an idea that God has already spoke to somebody about what's going to happen. So let's go to 2 Chronicles 36. So therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young men or maiden, old man, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. Now remember, this is back in the history just for a minute. Remember, Israel turned God down, started worshiping idols, started throwing their kids in the fire to Moloch. They just did all kind of, they did nothing God said to do and everything he said not to do. So God had to divorce them and put them away. Couldn't forget them, though. But he divorced them and put them away. They lost a position in God. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king, and all of his princes, and all these he brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God and break down the wall of Jerusalem. Because remember, the wall's got to be built back, according to Daniel 9:25. And all these, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the king of Persia. Because we're going to talk, next time we speak, we're going to go back to where Cyrus is going to give us. Because remember, Israel couldn't do anything because they were under the reign of the kings. They were under Nebuchadnezzar, then they were under his son, Belshazzar, and then they were under these different ones. But when it comes to the king of Persia, or the Chaldees, you see Cyrus, and Cyrus is the one that's going to actually give them a proclamation to be able to build everything back. So we'll see that later. Not right now. But this is kind of what he's talking about. And then he carried away the sword to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill, in other words, 70 years. God was going to make sure that 70 years through Jeremiah, and during that time, it was a captivity that Daniel got caught up in. And remember, when Daniel is writing this, the book of Daniel was written, Daniel was not in Jerusalem. All right, the goings-on and the happenings was what happened inside that captivity. But Daniel said, okay, Lord, I know I've been here 68 years. I got two more years left. What's going to happen? Yeah. Same way with us. What's going to happen, Lord? So God sent us a prophet. He sends Gabriel to Daniel to show him what's going to happen all the way to the millennium. Not just what's going to happen when they get out of captivity. Because when they got out of captivity, things happened that God said was going to happen. But God showed him all the way till now. Right now, at this time we're talking about now, all the way into the great millennial reign. Because that's what the Jews are looking for. See, the Jews are not promised a new city. Jews are not promised a new city. That's for us. We're promised a new city. Because we're the bride. But they are promised a time. They're promised a time that they're going to rest for 1,000 years. They're going to have 1,000 years where Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign on the throne as the Son of David, to fulfill Scripture. Glory. Judging and ruling the 12 tribes of Israel. Which 12 times 12 is 144. There's going to be 112,000 from each tribe. That's 144,000. It's going to be in that millennium. That's why I'm telling you this. You got to have the people and the city. The people and the city. You can't just put the people in. You got to get the city built. You got to get the. They built it up here, We'll see that in just a second. We'll run through it real quick. And then what they've done is they're going to be a millennium, that they're going to build a millennial temple, and they're going to live in a millennial temple. Well, they're going to live the 1,000 years. They're going to build houses, but it's going to be a central thing called a temple. The Ezekiel 42:44 is the millennial temple that God said Israel was going to build, and that the prophet of God many, many times, we've read it several times before, that they are going to build that city, and the anointing to the city, we'll see in just a minute as we'll read it again, is going to be when Christ comes back in Revelation 19:21, and he's not coming back alone. He's coming back with a bride. And the bride will be the anointing to the temple. Right? So that's something that you and I got to look forward to, is that we're going to sit there with him. It's not going to be him just sitting there by himself. He's going to have a bride sitting there beside of him to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And like I said before, you and I virtually have zero scripture to fulfill during that time. Our scripture's fulfilled in when we go in the rapture. Glory. I mean, what you say, well, what do we got? Well, we got a new city coming. That scripture, and you know what? We don't fulfill that. God's already, Brother Bram, according to the future home, he's already got it built for us. Right. It's just going to come down out of heaven by your desire. So you've already built it. You're sitting here in it today. Amen. You have your own house right there. That's the house God wanted you to live in. Amen? Because John saw the city coming down as it looked like a what? A bride adorned for a husband. Right. All right? So that's what we've got to look forward to. So we've Ezekiel 42:44. And you know, I was thinking this morning when Brother Dale was talking about the law. The law is never done away with. If you do away with the law, then you got to take the Old Testament and throw it out. Right. So Ezekiel goes throw it out with it. So there's no millennial temple now, so if you throw it all that out. That all comes down. Listen, Moses is going to be there. And all the different ones, we're not going to do away with it. But we are going to be able maybe to explain to them what they tried to explain without the baptism of the Holy Ghost in their soul. They would have an anointing come on them, and Isaiah would preach 66 books of the Bible. But now, I don't think he understood it all. He was just prophesying. He was writing down what he saw. Now listen, you and I are living what they saw. We're not prophesying anymore, as we were talking this morning in the Sunday school class. We're not prophesying anymore. We're living the actual prophecy. Amen? Because if we prophesy that something else is coming, then you and I must pass away and let that come up. You got that? If we're prophesying, oh, there's a group. That group's here. We are that group. We are the prophecy. Brother Brown said we are a prophetic group of people. We have prophetic insight. That means that God can speak to us in a way that he's never spoke to anybody else. And you and I can understand more than anybody has ever been able to understand on the face of this earth. Everybody got that? Right now, today, we can understand more, even more than the Apostle Paul. Oh, you get quiet. Paul didn't know a thing about a seal. Paul died before the seals were even talked about. But when we refer to the seals, we refer back to what Paul said. See, so he was prophesying about something he didn't even see. Now, he said, I could look through a glass darkly. Well, the reason I'm saying this, Daniel was sitting there wanting to know what was going on in 2 years. Gabriel gave him the whole thing to the millennium, but now he didn't draw him a chart. Because he tells Daniel in Daniel 12, he says, Daniel, you know, Daniel asked, I like Daniel because he asked a lot of questions. Right. He said, when do these things be? And the angel told him, said, Daniel, it's not for you. Right. You need to go on as you are. That sound familiar? Yeah. Brother Branham on the questions and answers on the seals, he said, it's not for you. Right. It's gone from you. In other words, it's sealed up. To the time of the end, 50 years later, it's to be opened up to a group of people. Daniel, it's going to be sealed up until the time of the end, where you're going to just go stand with your people, and then I'm going to come on the day of Pentecost, and I'm going to enter into a group of people then we're going to live through 2,000 years of church ages. I'm going to send a prophet in the very last one, and his name's Elijah. He's going to have the spirit of Elijah. Daniel didn't know much about Elijah, but he's going to the spirit of Elijah, and he's going to tell all this you saw, Daniel, all the way through. He's going to tell you about the kingdoms and all these different things that's coming to pass, and then he's going to take and he's going to put it up on a board, and he's going to show the whole, all the way to the consummation, this prophet in the end time. He's going to draw this chart, and he's going to show exactly what's going to happen. But Daniel, you just hang on. In the millennium, somebody will be able to explain it to you. So don't worry about it, Daniel. In other words, listen, it wasn't for him. It gone from him. He knew the visions, and that's what I'm telling you now. The people that live in there, as I read that quote during the seals, you know, there's, you got a box, and our box is to take the full word, the full word with no discrepancy, the full word with, you say, can you preach a perfect word? Well, Jesus did, didn't he? And he was the Word. The Word was made flesh. Now the Word's been made flesh again. Different Jesus? Same Jesus. Paul said to have the mind of Christ, and to have the mind of Christ is a thing to think the thoughts of Christ. And as you think the thoughts of Christ, that brings what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Christ, if you'll let him, if you'll lean toward him and not your own understanding, you'll let him talk through you, and you know what? It'll be the same perfect word he spoke 2,000 years ago. It'll have to be if it's the same Jesus. Now, if it's a different one, and man connects their ideas to it, then it's a little bit different. That's what's been happening with the 70 weeks of Daniel. Man has stuck their ideas in it all the way down through the ages, and then Brother Branham comes up, and we're not going to read it today, but I'm compiling the quotes in the 70 weeks of Daniel, how positive he was. Thus saith the Lord, this has got to be done. We've got to do this. You've got to take this chart and write it down and copy it down and study it. You know, he wasn't where he just said, okay, Daniel 70 weeks, we'll just go through that because it's in the Bible. No, there was a purpose. Because without understanding the great secret of Daniel 70 weeks, you're not going to understand the seals. So, and that's according to what he said, not what I said. All right, so if you don't understand Daniel 70 weeks, you can't understand the seals, and you can't take a body change. Just the way it is. So maybe by the Lord's help, we'll try to get this to where you can understand. I know we've got new ones that's come in later, you know, but Brother Dale's been preaching this since 1974, so it's just about, I don't think you can ever wear the Word of God out, but you can go over it so many times, you think, man, I hope they get it this time. And of course, as a school teacher, and I'll tell you, you know, you keep on and keep on, you keep on, and then you got to keep on. Amen. Then you got to just keep on, and then you just got to keep on. We don't want to leave nobody behind. We want everybody. I want everybody. Why in the world would you, as a Christian, would want to say, well, that person ain't going to make it? No, grab them by the hand, pull them up. Take them with you. Get them to believe the same words you believe. That, to me, that's having faith in the Word of God. All right, let's read the first quote. We shouldn't be too much today. Luis gave us a little extra time. I don't count that time now between 2 and 3 that he gave, 2 and 2:30. If he gave me 10 minutes, and we ain't counting that. It's supposed to be 2:30. Okay, so anyway. Nobody agreed with that? Say amen. Yeah. You heard what I said. I thought I'd get a bunch of amens. All right, the sixfold purpose. Now, what, Brother Brown, tell us? 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. For what purpose? For what? Whose people was it determined upon? Daniel's people, the Jews. So this is to the Jews alone. And what was it determined for? Upon not only Daniel, but upon Daniel's holy city. And as I said 15 times before, this covers the people and the dwelling, the people and the city, the people and the city. If you leave one out, then you won't be able to understand the Daniel 70 weeks. You got to take the people and the city, because to us, the only city that's important is the future home. All right, well, that's way down That's way down the road. But to the Jews, they want that temple. Hey, listen, they are today, this day today, trying to get that temple built. The natural Orthodox Jews, they don't believe Jesus came yet, the Messiah. They said, don't say Jesus, but the Messiah came yet. And they're trying to get these pieces together so that they can get the Messiah here. They know he's supposed to come. But remember, they missed him when he came. But when he comes back through two prophets to the 144,000, they're going to see that same Jesus and know that they're the ones that put him on the cross. So this is to Daniel's people and the city. Everybody got that? Say amen. Amen. What is Daniel's city? Jerusalem. So it's got to happen around Jerusalem. It's what's going to go on now. All right, number two. Real quick now. Now I want you to know, friends, striking on these things, I certainly leave out weeks of teaching. I'll be kind of hitting it so the weather cools off later. So we get to the seven seals, vials, trumpets, all these things, I can refer back and say, do you remember on the 70 weeks of Daniel? Do you remember the church ages when it went up and what taking place? Look, and the 70 weeks of Daniel covers from the going up of the church until the coming back of the church. That space, what it covers, now not all 70 weeks of Daniel, part of it, talking about the redemption or the sixfold purpose. Because remember, that's the title of where the quote comes from. He's in the sixfold purpose.
Right.
All right, 70 weeks are determined. Now, there was a sixfold purpose to his visit, telling him what was going to come to pass. Now, there was a sixfold purpose of his coming. Because remember, Christ, at the end of the sixfold purpose, who shows up? Christ and the bride.
Amen.
All right. Now, tonight, I think we'll leave off scripture. Let's go on down to the red. And 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Now remember, that is all that the journey of Israel will have on this earth. They are determined. 70 weeks is just determined. All right, now, 70 weeks is how long? We're going to write it right here. 490 years. Does everybody know how we got that? 70 times 7. If it's 70 weeks and 1 week equals 7 years... 70 times 7 is 490 years to redeem Israel.
Amen.
Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
That would be 70 times 7, 1 week equals 7 years. Now, we've already established that, right?
Amen.
All right? Because that's going to be important here in just a minute. We're going to get our three time periods, and then we'll stop. Now look, they are determined, just determined. 70 weeks is just determined. That's all that's allotted to the Jews. Upon thy people and upon thy holy city, therefore this 70 weeks, now don't miss it, it will reveal from that time to the end of the Jews and also to the end of Jerusalem until there'll be a new city built. So whatever the sixfold purpose is will be the redemption of the Jews until the new city is built. Everybody got that? Pretty plain. All right, Revelation 11:1. It says, there was given to me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court, which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not. Because see, there's your building. There's your temple. But the court, which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Now, how long is 42 months? 3.5 years. Or 1,260 days. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,200, 80 days, clothed in sackcloth. Now, we're going to have to bring something else in here. I want you to remember that we are not talking from this point forward. We are not talking about our calendar. Our calendar is 365 1/4 day, called a Julian calendar, because of Emperor Julian. Decided, well, what happened was, real quick, the reason we have quarter days, the reason we do it the way we do it, when they started way back when, and Brother Dale explained this a long time ago, and I'll just kind of cover over, you can look it up, Google it. It's got to be right. Yeah, I know. But what happened was They kept by the moon, so it just kept going back into whatever century it was, B.C. or A.D. or somewhere in there close. What happened was is spring wasn't in April anymore. It had begun losing or gaining so many days until spring was like in July or December. So they set it back like so many years or so many months. They did away with it and started it back and said, okay, 365 and a quarter days because the earth is wobbling. All you kids know that. The earth is tilted to one side so many degrees and it wobbles. So it doesn't hit exactly on the what it's supposed to be of 360 days. Okay? So that's the old Julian calendar. But what we're going to talk about from now on will be, Brother Branham called it a prophetic calendar of 360 days to a year. Everybody got that? Say amen. 30 days to a month. Now, I'm going to read that. He's going to hit it in just a minute, but I'm going to let you get ahead of it a little bit. Because, remember, moon cycles, your sisters know about cycles, 28 to 30 day cycles. Everybody got that? So even Brother Brown said nature tells us that there's 30 days, not 31, not 30, not 28 or 29 like man's saying. But if you use the 360-day calendar, that's why the Bible says here they will prophesy 1,203 days, which is 1,260 days. Well, now 1,260 days is not 3.5 years of our calendar. But the Bible says it'll be for time, times, and a dividing of times.
Right.
So that's 3.5. So, but you take 3.5 years, 42 months according to the 30-day calendar, and 1,260 days, it hits it exactly. And even when we bring the dates in, that's why everybody had it off. They were using regular calendar days, 365 and a quarter days. Well, everything we're going to talk about now in Daniel 70 weeks comes from the prophetic calendar of 360 days to a year. All right? And this is what I believe. This is just my belief. I think Brother Branham made one comment, and I've been looking at it for it. Because what happened was, is when did it tilt? It tilted at the flood. And Brother Branham said something atomic could have happened there in the flood. You know, it wasn't 40 days of rain, that's for sure. 40 days of rain didn't fill this world up. The Bible says the fountains of the deep opened up. And you can see now where even Brother Branham explains, you know, that's why the polar ice caps are in each pole, because the gravity pulls them toward each pole. All right? There's no telling what's up there under these glaciers when they start melting. There's got to be civilizations and people and everything else, because after the flood, I believe that's where it drew it out. Well, what God's going to do is this next atomic Armageddon, I believe, is going to set it back up, because the millennium is not going to be 1,000 years of 365 and a quarter days. We're going right back to this right here, because it still is a day. I mean, you got time in the millennium. Now, this is going to go away at the future home. Amen? But it's not going in the millennium. We're going to live 1,000-year millennium according to 360 days, not 365 and a quarter. Okay? But as we do that, you got to bring the earth back up right to have that. So that's just my thought, is that man, I believe, is the one that knocked it out of Cater, and man, the one's going to put it back up, you know. So, all right, everybody got that then. We got 490 years, 70 times 7, 1 week equals 7 years, and then 360 days are to a year, their year, the year that we'll talk about on the Daniel 70 weeks. Everybody got that? Say amen. All right, 360 days, so don't get confused and try to figure it out with 365 and a quarter. And Brother Branham explains that, and we'll bring it in, but I'm just going to try to hit the highlights, because we're not going to be here next Sunday. It'll give you time to either forget everything I just said or give you time to study a little bit what I just said. Well, either way. All right, so let's look here at we know what happened in the sixfold purpose. We've been through it 5 different services, that there were 6 things that God was going to do to bring back Israel and bring back the cities. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. So we know for sure that when these 2 witnesses, when they prophesy, they are going to preach salvation to those 144,000.
Yes.
So those 144,000 are going to be redeemed,
right,
They're going to be justified, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? They're going to be 144,000 Holy Ghost-filled individuals, and they are going to do whatever they do for that 3.5-year time under justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost through those two prophets. Now, there's not anything else to come. There's not another message. Two prophets for 1,260 days. Has everybody got that? Amen? Everybody's got that. 1,260 days. That's the time determined to get the people ready. Everybody got that? Say amen. The people ready. Not the city. The people. All right, so the three things that happen, if you pull them up. One is to finish the transgression. Two is to make an end of sins. Three is to make reconciliation for iniquity. Now that is for the people. Because you don't save houses. People get saved. Houses don't get saved. People get saved. The temple didn't transgress. The temple didn't have sins. And the temple didn't have iniquity. So that's got to be the people that were in there. All right, those people are the ones that transgressed. Now, God had to hook. He hooks the temple in because he told them. He even told them, he said, hey, if you're in trouble, look toward the temple and pray. And I'll meet your need. What did Jonah do? I was reading it yesterday or a couple of days ago. Jonah, in the belly of the whale, by spiritual revelation, because he was in a dark place, he turned and he remembered what they said to do. He turned toward the city and prayed. And then what happened? The thing puked him out on the beach, and he went and preached salvation to Nineveh, and the whole city got saved. All right, but he turned toward that. So that's God said, okay, now bride, you have no continuing city. You have no certain place. Brother Brown said, we don't have a certain day. We don't have a certain temple we got to go to. You are the temple. But they have a certain temple because you can't take away all that God said about the temple in the Old Testament. Why do you think they're trying to build that temple for? Because they want to what? Restore. They know that the restoration of Jerusalem in part has to happen with that temple. That temple's got to be in place. All right? Is everybody okay with that? So finish the transgression, make an end of sin, make reconciliation for iniquity for the people. All right, now let's read number 3 real quick. Because what's going to happen is remember as we were talking last week, a couple weeks ago, Wednesday night about the Battle of Armageddon. That Battle of Armageddon takes place in the midst of that last week. And we'll put it back up on the chart in a minute. Because right here, Victory Day. We've had many great battles, spiritual battles, many great V-days the church has had. I mean the church, the body of Christ. I'm not talking about the organization. I'm talking about the body of Christ. The body of believers down through the ages has had many victory day or V-days. We talk about, we've had several wars, the wars and rumors of wars and V-days and V-days and V-days. It finally winds up into the great battle of Armageddon. That'll be the last of it. When she comes to the battle of Armageddon, that'll settle the whole thing. Just before the great millennium, Armageddon is to clean off the earth. Right. Now remember, we just got 3 of the 6-fold finished. Yes. Finish the transgression, make an end of sin, make reconciliation for iniquity. Yes. We still got 3 more to go. And you can't bring them in before the Battle of Armageddon. Right. How can you do that? You can't. How are you going to bring in everlasting righteousness and then blow the whole world up? All right? Everybody okay with that? We're going to go Bible. Just before the great millennium, Armageddon is to clean off the earth. She repurifies herself with this atomic blowing, so it's going to be an atomic battle, and the volcanic ash and thing sinks this soaked blood of men and upon the earth and sin and crime. She sinks beneath the earth. The volcanic braves out again and renews and cleans the earth for the great millennium. He cleans his church during that time, for a people to live here. All right, there's coming a time that'll be great. So at the Battle of Armageddon, it's not a spiritual battle. This is physical men blowing each other up. Godless men. There's nobody here with a new birth. There's nobody here in the bride. There's nobody here, 144,000. There's nobody here that is of God. Amen. Nobody. Amen. And that's why that this is not just a small piece of a tribulation. That's what's going to happen when we leave. Jacob's trouble, or a small part of the battle before the Battle of Armageddon. But the Battle of Armageddon is going to be a godless battle. It's going to be a battle that, well, there's never been a battle since, and there's never going to be a battle afterwards. All right, because the next great battle, I read it to you last week, the next great battle is the Battle of Gog and Magog, which is way over here on the other end of the millennium. And that's God fire. That's God blowing up souls.
Right.
Battle of Armageddon doesn't kill a soul, it just kills people.
Right.
Human people. The soul goes down into the fifth dimension and it has to lay there because the Bible says, woe to them that don't receive, in other words, don't receive the word of God, because they have to go and live 1,000 years, or they're in that dimension for 1,000 years and have to come up in a resurrection over here.
That's right.
All right? So the Battle of Armageddon is one battle. The Battle of Gog and Magog is another battle. Two totally separate battles. All right? Number four, questions and answers. The church age ending and has blacked out. The bride is called. We have already entered in the tribulation period. Now, that's a question somebody asked. No. I wish that I could just have more time on that. The bride, when she's taken from the church, then the church age will cease. Laodicea goes into chaos. The bride goes to glory. The tribulation period sets in upon the sleeping virgin for 3.5 years, or 1,260 days. While Israel is getting its prophecy, then tribulation sets in upon Israel. Why? Because after the 1,260 days, the two prophets are killed and 144,000 are being killed, right? All right. And then comes the Battle of Armageddon, which destroys all things. And then the bride returns back with the groom for 1,000 years, the millennium reign. After that comes the white throne. After that comes the new heaven. That's way on over here. And the new city coming down from God out of heaven. Eternity and time blends together. But you got to remember, we've still got three more, because that sixfold purpose has got to be inside them 490 years. Amen? 70 times 7. 70 weeks of Daniel finishes all these things. Amen? According to the Bible. That's 490 years. It's going to take 490 years for that to happen. Now, we're going to get into dates, like I said, the next time we talk about it. But today, I just want to make sure we know 490 years is 70 times 7. 1 week equals 7 years. And 360 days to a year is our prophetic calendar that we're going to use. Now, let's go. We got to look and see number 4, 5, and 6. Number 4 is to bring in everlasting righteousness. Now, how? Like I said, in the order they're in, how are you going to... You can't do that outside of the 70 weeks of Daniel.
Right.
It's got to be inside of the 490 years.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Got to be inside of 490 years. But now remember, the Battle of Armageddon happens in the midst of the week. Then there's three other things that's got to happen to bring in everlasting righteousness. Why? After all this has been wiped off.
Right.
After all the Armageddon, everything's been wiped off, God brings an everlasting righteousness, seals up the vision and prophecy, puts it in that 144,000, because they've got a vision and a prophecy to fulfill, because they got to come back and build a temple.
Amen.
And then to anoint the Most Holy. Now, let's see what Brother Bram says about this. I didn't read this the other day, but watch this. Number 5, this is in the 70th week of Daniel. The prophet of God tells us that now the sixfold purpose, and we find out that on this sixth purpose, to anoint the Most Holy, we find out that Most Holy always represented the church, the tabernacle. And the last thing was to be done was to anoint the Most Holy. That's the millennial tabernacle that he'll live in during the millennial that we'll live in. That we'll live in. Who's we'll? We'll is him and us. Yeah, we will. Who's the we will? It's us. We're the we will. That we will live in. Brother Brown just shortened it like we do, like most of our Southerners. We take a lot of I's and E's and R's and all that. We add a few letters and we have warming and supper and dinner and all that other stuff. So, Brother Brown said, we'll live in that millennial temple. Now, so can that happen before the Battle of Armageddon? Can't. So there's threefold purpose over here for the people.
Right.
And then the Battle of Armageddon is going to destroy everything. And then a new temple is going to be built inside that 490 years. All right? Not 480, 489, 486 and a half, as most people believe. But 490 years from the time this begins until that millennial temple is to be built, it's going to take 490 years. Now, we're going to get into the dates later on, but now let's go through these three periods. If you have your chart, you can read it, but I'm going to fix and to draw another one right here. So let's read this again. Three periods of time. Because it's time. 490 years is time.
Amen.
All right, so let's go to Daniel 9:27. How'd that get shifted over a little bit? All right, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. All right, so that's all going to happen. All right, here's what we're going to focus on right now. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. Now that's going to be our starting point. It's got to start somewhere. There is something given. There's an edict given that we're going to look at the different dates. And we're going to see when it started. We know when it ends. I'm going to put this already over here. We know when this ends. Because it's 490 years. Between right here and right here. Right? 70 times 7. 490 years. Something's got to happen in between that time to bring Israel and to bring these prophecies to pass. And to bring a new city, because here's the millennium. All right, and here's Revelations 19:21. Now, Brother Bram's already said that. I read it to you in the sixfold purpose. Revelations 19 is when the bride comes back into the millennium, into that temple that we just talked about. Everybody got that? Say amen. All right, so know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. All right, everybody got that?
Yeah.
That's 7 weeks. Now what? 7 times 7? 49 years. First period. And 62 weeks. That's another period. Which would be 62 would be 62. Is that right? 62 weeks. Everybody got that? Say amen. That'd be 62 weeks. Let's read it again. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. We got that. And 62 weeks.
Yep.
All right. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous time. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. So right here is Calvary. If you look on your sheet of paper, Brother Branham put a cross right there. Because that's where he was cut off. Now, you got to remember that this time period is not added.
Right.
This is Gentiles. This is the church ages.
Right.
Has nothing to do. Like I said before, if Israel had not have rejected Christ, you would have had three periods that it would have fitted right here.
Yeah. Right.
Okay? But moot point. Didn't happen that way.
Right.
So this is the church ages. This is the bride. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
Jesus Christ came right here. This is Calvary. It says, read it one more time. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince. Who's Messiah the Prince? Jesus Christ. Shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Everybody got that?
Right.
All right. The street shall be built again, the wall, even in troublous times. Everybody got that? And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Who was he cut off for? Us.
Right.
Wheel. Right. As in that last quote. He was cut off for wheel.
Yeah.
We're the bride. He was cut off for us. Now sure, he was cut off for Jerusalem too. But he was cut off so that we, this is the wild olive tree, olive branch that was grafted in right here.
Right.
Everybody got that?
Yeah.
All right. So that's one period, two periods. This is not a period. This, we're not included.
Right.
Remember, we're not included in this. And then you've got number three. We're reading right here in just a second, right here. Everybody good? Make sure I got this right. Oh, I forgot one. Because this is 434 years. I forgot, sorry. So now 434 and 49 is what? 483 years. And my math right. If Deanna was here, she'd say yes. Now we got to get 490. There's 483 to Calvary. So why don't you explain to me how there's only 3.5 years left after the rapture? Plus 3.5 is 486.5. That's not 490. So the Bible's right. There's 1 week left after the rapture. 62 and 7 is 69 and 1 makes 70. That's just as plain can be. Everybody got that? All right. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now, who was that? That was Titus. There was an overlap, a little bitty piece coming here to AD 70. Why did he do that? He had to tear that temple down. Remember, it was here when Jesus was here. The temple was still there. They were doing, you know, he ran them out of the temple. But in AD 70, Titus had to destroy it. It's never been rebuilt, right? Man's going to try to build it right here. But the real one's going to be built right here. Because it's Daniel and thy people. The people and the city. Everybody got that? The people are going to be redeemed by the two prophets, and the city's going to be rebuilt for us to enter into the millennium. Everybody got that? All right. Now watch. And the people of the princes shall come, shall destroy the city. When Titus came in AD 70, if you'll Google it, look at the, there was a, what was it? Bob was here, he'd tell you. There's a mural in Rome, and you can see Titus walking out of Jerusalem. You can see the temple burning, and one soldier's got the menorah, one soldier's got this, the other soldier's got, so all the equipment for the temple is in Rome. They've got it now. That's why that covenant's going to be made right here. When we get out of here, the Pope's going to say, hey, got your stuff. If you want to finish this, let's talk about a covenant. See, it's so plain to us. We can see. All right, now look. It says, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. When the people of the princes come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end therefore shall be with a flood, and to the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant. That's number three. You've got 1 7-week period, a 62-week period, and then he shall confirm the covenant. Who is he? He is the Antichrist. The only way he can have a covenant and him come into power is for us to be gone. So the Gentile church age, we go in a rapture right there. He makes a covenant with many for what? 1 week. So now you got 62 and 7 is 69, and 1 week makes 70. 70 times 7 is 490 years. 483 years are already accomplished. You can't count any time in here. Remember, time's no longer for us. But you got to come back for 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry. And then you got another part here. This will be for the people. This will be for the city to be rebuilt. Everybody okay with that? Because this is the Battle of Armageddon right here. Proved on your chart and proved by after the 1260 days. We read it in the scripture. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Told you what he's going to do. He's going to walk in and say, I'm God. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even unto the consummation. Now, what is the consummation? The consummation is that last part of that to fulfill the 490 years. Because here's the consummation. The consummation, Brother Branham said, was the millennium. All right, that's the consummation. Now, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon a desolate. There's a desolation going to happen right here. That's the Battle of Armageddon. Then you got to bring in everlasting righteousness, still the vision of prophecy, anointed of hope, most holy. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's why I said if you'll get the sixfold purpose, which only happens right here, but you got to set it up by all these. This temple's got to be destroyed. The people have got to turn Jesus down so they can be saved. Listen, they're God's people back this way. Until they reject him, they're his people. When they built the temple, it was built by the Jews that believed the Messiah was coming. But then they didn't believe he was here. They think he's coming over here. You know why? Because God blinded them for that 2,000 years to bring them back in. So now let's read in number 6. Now let's outline Daniel's 70 of weeks. Now I might repeat here again, ministers of the gospel, if you disagree with this, all right. They are divided into three periods, as we find out in Daniel 9, three periods. First, a 7-week period. Then a 62, which is 62, and then a 1-week period. They're divided into three different periods. There's no half weeks in there. Okay? Now, I've got it divided here on the board. It's the chart you're looking at if you got the chart with you. The first period, second period. Now, watch this. Look how positive he is. Now, watch. This is by no means am I William Branham, but I guarantee you this is what he's doing. He said right here, watch, the first period, he's pointing, the first period, the second period, and to my understanding by the gospel, by the Holy Spirit, that at the end time, God returns again to the Jews. So he's pointing right here. Everybody got that? Say amen. Now we know by all the gospels that Paul taught and the others that God will return again to the Jews. Well, then if he's going to turn again to the Jews, how can we apply it back in Daniel's time? We've got to apply it in this last age, and it's after the Gentile church has been gone, because he deals with Israel as a nation, we as individuals. He's at this part right here. He's at this part in this quote. He's at this part right here. All right, let's read number 7. This is just to let you know that, you know, we talk about Google. I just have to do a search. We got a message, Google. It's called The Table. Amen? And it's always right. So watch. You just got to get your wording right. We know now that each week meant 7 years. Have you got it? Let's say it together. 1 week equals 7 years. Now we know we got it. 1 week equals 7 years. Here we are right here. The first week, Brother Brown steps to the blackboard. 49 years to rebuild the temple. He's standing right here. Right? Now this top line here represents the Jewish nation as it goes. You're talking about this line right here. Right? The Jewish nation as it goes across. This is just time. And when it drops down here, it drops out of the Jewish nation into the Gentile time right here. There's no line on your chart. It's just this part of the 7 church ages. Everybody got that? Then goes up again and catches Israel. This line right here. Because it should be a straight line. If they hadn't have done what they done, it'd have just been a straight line across.
Right.
All right. Actually, there's no way it could have happened because they would have accepted him here, and they'd have went in the rapture.
Amen.
They wouldn't have been none of this falling because they wouldn't have fell.
Right.
If they would, but see, since they turned him down, they fell and had to be restored, and city fell and had to be restored. Is that okay? All right, let's go to number 8. This is kind of a long quote, but it's just 20 after, so we're good. Now we got 3 different calendars. Here we are going back reading the calendars. We go back to the old astronomy calendar, and we find out that in the Julian calendar, there's 365 1/4 days in a year. They timed that by the passing of Sardis and the different stars and so forth. They timed it. Now we find in the Roman calendar that we live under now, 365 days in the year by the calendar. But in the Christian or prophetic calendar, we find there's only 360 days in a year. Now you might wonder how this confusion came about. Now this is, I can only say as myself speaking, I believe that back before the antediluvian destruction, back in the days of Job and so forth, that they kept the time by the stars. Now he marks it the flood. Antediluvian flood. That's the antediluvian flood. All right. Before the flood, they kept it by the stars, and we understand, or back before that time, that the world stood upright. And then in the sin of man, the overflow of the world, what's he talking about? He's talking about the flood. Before the flood, and the sin of man, the overflow of the world, and it tilted, and the floods came. Therefore, we have the great ice glaciers and so forth. See, I wasn't just... I had a quote to back it up. We have the great ice glaciers and so forth, and all the top and bottom of the earth is full of ice. It wasn't before, because it stood straight up. Now it tilts away from the sun, and back, we're hitting now where we're tilting away because it's wintertime. Sun didn't move, we moved. You know, we tilted, we wobbled. That shook it. Wait a minute. Top of the earth is ice, the bottom of the earth is ice. We know that. And the earth does not sit straight up, it sits tilted. That shook it out from where the moon and the stars where they were looking at and misplaced then, or you could not keep time by it anymore because it's sitting lopsided. That's what I said. They let it go. They let the calendar go for several years, and it happened to be that April had begun to be the middle of wintertime or something. It got way off. Because, see, they go by spring. April is the first day of the Jewish calendar, first month of the Jewish calendar. So everything is hinged on April. All right, or the springtime, because it's sitting lopsided, sitting tilted back. Therefore, it would not hit them stars at the same time because it's out of cater to them stars. You understand? I believe that's what it is. All right, keep going. It's laying back in that condition, and that only shows that this is just a period of time. Can't you see? God don't have things out of cater. He's just letting it run like that for a little time. And I truly believe that that thing was done, and that this last day is when God is going to reveal these secrets to the church. In other words, tell us to use 360 days. It doesn't matter how much is on the calendar, 365 1/4. Use 360 days. He hasn't done it before, and the reason he hasn't done it is to keep the church watching. In other words, he hadn't revealed this till now. Keep the church watching and praying all the time, not knowing when it's coming. But you remember in Daniel 12, he said, the wise shall understand in this last day. It's been given to him. The spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Ghost, bringing the church in and revealing what day we're living in. Just the same as Gabriel come to Daniel, the Holy Spirit comes to the church in the last day to reveal these great, deep, secret things. Do you understand now?
Right.
Now, what would knock out that astronomic year or the Julian year calendar, the Masonic year? I've never heard of that one, but because the world's tilted. We all know that from studying school, and it's out of cater. Therefore, them stars wouldn't pass the line of the earth at the same time. Therefore, the Roman calendar's wrong, too, because you cannot put together the days. There's just many things that I could say right here that we find out by even nature. So I was talking about the sisters and all the different things. Itself teaches us that there's only 30 days exactly. Now, he said year, but you know he didn't mean year. They ain't never been 30 days in a year. It was 30 days in a month. Now let's take Revelations, where we're going to have to go over here in the days of the two prophets. The Bible said they prophesied 1,203 score days. Now, we take the astronomy calendar, it sure would miss it a long way from being 3.5 years. And we take the Roman calendar that we have today, it would miss it a long way. But you take the prophetic calendar, and there's exactly 1,203 score days in 30 days to the month. Everybody got that? That's why we're going to, everything that we're going to look at from this point back is 360 days to the year. All right, so you got three periods. You got one period that's what? 7 weeks, 62 weeks, make 69, and then 1 week period right here. Everybody got that? Say amen. Three, Brother Brown said, three distinct periods. Now, there's no half weeks in any of this. Everybody got that? Show it to me. Right now, somebody show it to me. There's not one. It's a 1 week, a 62 week, and a 1 week. Added up, that makes 70 or 490 years. 483 years have already passed according to the Bible, according to the prophet's message. And there's 1 week left after we leave to finish. Now listen to me, to finish Daniel 70 weeks. Not to finish 1260 days of the prophesying. That's different. It's inside it, but it's different. Because the Bible says there's 1 week left after the treaty has been made. Everybody good with that? Just telling you what the Bible says. All right, so now let's go to number 9. Let's read this and then we'll be done. The 70th week of Daniel. This will be when he's preaching the 70th week of Daniel. Now, we are told from the going forth of the commandment. Now, here's where trouble. Now, we're told from the going forth of the commandment to rebuild the city to Messiah, and Messiah was Christ, of course, shall be 7 weeks, right there, and 62 weeks, 62 weeks, making 69 weeks. All right? 69, right there, which makes 483 years. All right. 7 times 69. There's no half weeks. Anybody know there's a half week in here anywhere? Zero. All 4 weeks. Now you're getting it down. 7 times 69 makes 483 years. Now we got to have 490 to finish the transgression, make an end of sin, reconciliation for iniquity, bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision of prophecy, and anoint the most holy. Everybody got that? All right. Now you're getting it down. If you want me to run over it again, I'll be glad to. And guess what? I'll be glad to too. We've been over it and over it. Boy, it's okay. We got to get everybody to have a good fresh revelation. Yeah. Now we are told from the going forth of the commandment to rebuild the city to Messiah shall be 7. 7, that's the first right here. He's pointing right here. Scroll it up so everybody can see it, please. 7, that's the first right here. 7 weeks and 62 weeks make 62 and 7 is 69. He said it again. 69 weeks. 7 times 69 would make 483 years. Therefore, until the Messiah, now we're coming up to this part here. Until the Messiah, there's got to be 483 years right here. Because where did Jesus come on the scene? Right here. All right, he came in and, you know, we can go through the many times we went through it before a long time ago. Where Jesus was born in 4 B.C. He was not born, and there's no A.D. zero. It went from B.C. 1 to A.D. 1, not A.D. zero. Everybody got that? Say amen. So if he's born in 4 B.C., which we may go through that, but to me it's really immaterial. It's not, though, if you look at what Brother Bram talks about, Jesus being crucified in A.D. 30. Because he was 33 years old when he died. He wasn't 30. Right? So he had to be born sometime before A.D. 1. And we'll prove that. We've already proved that we've got sermons on it before. That he was born around 4 B.C. because that's when Herod came into power. He shows up somewhere in there and says, well, they said, well, when did the Messiah show up? And they said, well, 2 years. He said, well, kill every baby. Remember, he said, kill every baby from 2 years back. Right? All right. Because he knew that he was born somewhere in that time, you know. So he said, okay, from this time, I want everybody, all the kids that are 2 years old, all the Hebrew babies, I want them dead. He was trying to kill Jesus. But he was born in 4 B.C., and then you look at A.D. 30, it's where he marks, if you look on your sheet, And we will, actually we may get into that to make sure we prove that, because it wasn't, and Brother Brown does make one statement, he says AD 33, but it doesn't match. AD 30 is what matches. If you'll read your Daniel 70 weeks, the 70th week, you will find out where Brother Brown says he rode into Jerusalem on a white donkey on April the 2nd, AD 30. Now that was when those 483 years were coming to an end. Okay? Because the Messiah was fixing to be cut off. If he rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, what is Palm Sunday? Thank you. For those of you that don't know, which you should have already known, that's the week before the crucifixion. Right? Right before Passover. So if he rode into Jerusalem on a white donkey on Palm Sunday, AD 30, he died 4 days, 5 days later. Or whatever it was, that next, coming to the next Friday, he was dead. He was cut off. They said, let his blood be on us and our children. All that we talked about happened right in that little spot.
Right.
And then he was crucified in April of AD 30. So we'll explain that a little bit later. So God bless you. Just watch this chart. Look at the chart you got. Read your Bible and tell me where there's a half week. Now, remember what I said. Remember, tell me where there's a half week in Daniel 70 weeks. I didn't say anything about 1,260 days of this prophecy right here. That's inside of the 70 weeks of Daniel. That is not the last week. It's inside the last week. Because the Bible says, and Brother Branham just said, there's three distinct periods. One more time. Musicians, get ready to come. There's a 7 weeks... 62 weeks makes 69, or 483 years. Then there's 1 week left to finish the time. Does everybody understand that? To finish the time of the 70 weeks of Daniel. Most people in the message, and I'm telling you, they'll fight you tooth and nail. One preacher says, that's a shin kicker. They fight and tell you that this right here, according to what Brother Brown said, of course, Brother Brown can't say what the Bible didn't say.
Amen.
And I just read you, the Bible said that he shall make a confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. I don't understand that, but they're putting that 3.5 weeks right there, right here. And then there's only a half week left after the rapture. I want somebody to bring me a Bible and show me how that can happen. It'll shut the mouth of the critics. Because you know what? That I should have done that when they were arguing back and forth. I said, have y'all ever read Daniel 9:24? Show me where there's a half week in there. Because
right.
The Bible, faith, final resting place is in what? The Word of God.
Amen.
The Word of God is true. Musicians, come. Musicians, one more time. I know we don't have a whole bunch of them here today, but the ones that are coming, come on. But study that. Pray about it. Because we can't be wrong and get out of here. We got to be right. We got to be right. And that's what I said a long time ago. And even Brother Dale, people say that Brother Brown changed it in the... when the seals open, I want you to show me where he changed it.
Amen.
You're just not getting what he said. You got to listen. You got to listen with revelation, not with just verbatim quotes. Just like I said, Jesus said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. 70 people turned and left. But the others got a revelation, and then all we done is last weekend we read the revelation that Paul had where we took communion. I mean, we had a revelation. We didn't walk away. The 70 walked away and said, oh, vampire.
Right.
We knew exactly. You can keep doing that. Do it again. We were at Brother Tim Hume's church a couple weeks ago. That the organ player, it wasn't when Brother Tim or I was speaking, but somebody was singing a song and they were giving a testimony. And the little guy over there, the guy gave a testimony and go, boom, 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 boom. Sarah, Follow script. All right, let's stand to our feet. God bless you. But this thing, Daniel 70 weeks, according to the Bible, there's three periods, and you can't make them any other way. Let's don't cut them up. Let's just see what God said. You say, well, I got this quote. Well, you know what? If the quote doesn't match the Bible, one more time. Your revelation of the quote is wrong. I didn't say the quote was wrong. Brother Branham was so sure that he had to get those 70 weeks of Daniel out of the way so he could bring the seals in. Why? If he take out a question out of people's mind into Daniel 70 weeks, then the seven seals would place right in where they're supposed to be placed. Let's sing a song. God bless your heart.
161, Day of Redemption.
Nations are breaking, Israel's awakening, the sign that the prophets foretold.
We're living in that time now.
Gentile days number, horrors encumber, eternity soon will unfold. The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clean. Look up, your redemption is near.
Think about this.
Is growing.
Jerusalem, we see that. We are seeing that happen right now.
Today she is calling, her latter rain's falling. Return, O dispersed, to your own. For the day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. Heaven's powers are shaking, and many are mistaking God's meaning to be of the sky. God's church is the power that's shaking this hour. The day of redemption is nigh. For the day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. False prophets are lying, it's truth they're denying, that Jesus the Christ is our God. Though this generation spurns God's revelation,
for you, for all these years, now pray, Lord, that you'll stand here for him, Father, and that you'll condemn that diabetic demon, Lord, and that you'll give him strength, Lord, in his body, that we'll all agree that this will not happen, and it's not going to come on our brother, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it, Lord. Amen. You just stand like you always have.
Your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near.
You believe that? Our redemption is right now. Israel is waiting on theirs. But when we get out of the way, they can have it. And we'll be enjoying our time over in another dimension. We'll be happy being a glorified body. Won't have to get up and go to work tomorrow. Some of you that are fortunate enough to go to work tomorrow, of us. Some of you are not, but that's okay. This journey's long, folks. It's not a sprint. This is a marathon. We're heading to the end of it. I mean, it's always, even though a marathon is long, Brother John, there's got to be an end to it. I don't care if a race is 400 miles. There is that last 1 mile you got to go. Well, we're heading toward that last mile. The baton's been handed to us to make it to the end. And then we hand it right off to Israel and they go do their thing while we have a time of bliss with the Lord Jesus. And he'll come back down here and reveal himself to the Jews. Open their eyes while we're having a good time at a wedding supper. So God bless you this week. We pray that the Lord will give you a supernatural time. Thank you for being here today. We are a fortunate people to have a place cool and a place that we don't have any elements. You think of many people overseas. Even with us in the modern times, there's people today worshiping this same God, preaching this same message, and it's just a little hut somewhere. And look up, you can see the sun, and look out and see the animals, you know. But you know what? God's going to give them something. He's going to give them a home to live in for an eternity. This is just temporary. But he's going to give them a home to live in. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the time you give us. Thank you for the revelation that we have in our heart, Lord, that you came and died on a cross. But not only you died on a cross to save our soul, but Lord, you want us to be able, as Brother Dale's going now through adoption, you want us to be at a place to where we're not crying for everything and we're not sniffling over in a corner because everything doesn't go our way. We become grown-up adults in our Christian walk, Lord. We're not babies. We've grown up, Lord. And we're able to take things that people in many, 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 many ages have not been able to take. The pressures of the hour that we have to deal with, Lord. But we also think back of the time of the dark ages where just to say you were a Christian and walk out on the street meant sudden death. Lord, we pray that you just strengthen us here for this last final journey, this last final mile that we're taking, Lord, this journey, Lord, toward that body change and resurrection. We pray that you'd be with each one. Forgive us of our sins. Give us a good supernatural week this week, Lord. We come back together Wednesday night. Brother Luis, have something, Lord, from you to give to the people, Father. We pray in Jesus' name that you'll just be with the ones that are sick here, Lord. Take care of them, Father, and heal their sicknesses, Father. You said you, Lord, sent your word and healed them. So we know that the word was spoken today. Now we believe that whatever's in our body or whatever situation we have is taken care of by the time we turn and walk out these doors. Father, we pray that you just be with each one, Lord, on the foreign fields, Lord. Just give them strength for their labor, Father. Touch each one now. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.
Men's hearts are